Chris Haft is with us, MLB.com. Chris, always great to see you at the ballpark. You're smiling. It must be spring training.
It's spring training. It's baseball. It's, you know, the sun's shining, Marty. I know it sounds like Pollyanna-ish, but it's just, you know, it's just great. It really is great to be here, and I feel so fortunate always.
What was your first spring training as a beat writer, as covering a major league team?
1991. I was covering the Houston Astros for the Houston Post, and my then wife was pregnant with our first child, so I carried this toted this pager around because I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there for Samantha's birth, our first child. So it was kind of nerve wracking, from the job aspect, because I was the first spring training. And everything that comes with that, and plus with the personal factor with the daughter being born. So it was, every day was an adventure at that point, to say the least.
What got you into sports writing, specifically baseball writing? How did you get into that?
Boy, it's just something I always loved, Marty. The game was something I loved since I was 9 or 10. And at that time, that actually is probably late, you know, for most kids to come to a sport. But my first love was actually pro football. But football ended, and so I was bored and needed something to do. And so I started following the Giants, and gosh, they had Mays and McCovey and Juan and Gaylord, and how could you not love the game watching those guys play?
All right, so now, but you become a beat writer. Houston, I mean, you know, it's you're getting to the top of the rung here. You know, beat writers work hard, they understand the game, they have to relate to players. How did the break come to you to become a beat writer?
Boy, I was, I just did everything, like they say, I did everything my bosses told me. You know, work hard, you know, work 14 hours a day, keep your nose clean, et cetera, et cetera. I was a general assignment reporter in Houston, and the Rockets writer was getting a little bit, stale with his responsibilities, and he was thinking of making a change. The baseball writer wanted to cover golf, which at that time was a major beat. So it was a no-lose situation for me. I was either going to go cover the Rockets, and I love pro basketball, I enjoyed a lot too, or I was going to cover the Astros, depending on what choice the Rockets writer made, because he was the veteran of our staff, a man named Robert Falkoff, who we all respected. And but he decided to stick to the Rockets, and so I got the Astros beat, and with the exception of a little three-season interlude covering the NFL in between, it's been baseball since. So. And this will probably be the last job I have.
All right. Chris Haft, MLB.com. What paper was it in Houston?
The Houston Post, which no longer exists, like a lot of papers, unfortunately. But back then we had a nice little war, I guess you'd say, with the Houston Chronicle.
I'm thinking Mickey Herskowitz.
Absolutely. Mickey, we don't have enough time on your show, Marty, for me to talk about Mickey. I've got the utmost respect in the world for Mickey.
Yeah, that's a longtime baseball writer. All right, Chris Haft is with us, MLB.com, looking out at the beautiful sunshine at Scottsdale Stadium. The world champions are here, but they've got a little bit of turmoil. As we look at baseball today, a split squad game here against Arizona, the rest of the guys going over to Salt River to play Arizona. Let's talk about the lineup, because I think that may be the one thing that, you know, we think was pretty solid, but with Pence out, the lineup looks like it could be changing.
Boy, it's funny how one incident like that, Marty, has a ripple effect among the whole team. I mean, who's going to play? Bruce Bochy has said, Nori Aoki's going to play right, but who really knows for sure? And with the possibility of Blanco and Juan Perez platooning in left, that's, yeah, a distinct possibility. But, again, who knows for sure? The batting order, when you and I were talking off the air, you know, it's in a state of flux. And but, you know, in a way, it kind of makes things more interesting.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, be, you know, sadistic about it, but it does add a little bit of intrigue to the spring.
Yeah. Well, Aoki may lead off. Pagan may hit third. Heck, McGee is in the lineup now, and Belt may be protecting Posey. There's some options here. Blanco could be out there. So we had that set lineup coming in, but it's not so set anymore. Matt Cain goes tomorrow against the Dodgers. We've talked with him. What do you think about his spring so far? What would you expect from him tomorrow?
I think he's looked great, Marty. I really do. It seemed there for part of 2013 and, of course, just about all of 2014 when he pitched. You could tell he was holding back. There was just something that just wasn't right, especially for those of us who've been lucky enough to watch him since he came up in, 2005. You could see the difference. And what I've seen this year is the same guy I saw back in 05, 06, 07, whatever. So, I'll expect him to necessarily throw a shutout ball and strike out a ton of guys, but I expect him to look good and consistent and smooth and effective.
Well, it should be fun seeing him. But, spring training, it's rather mundane. Things can be very simple. Then all of a sudden they get an injury, a couple of positions open up, a couple of new guys here, and now it becomes interesting to watch the games.
Rhett Barber used to say, I believe it was Rhett Barber, who said this is when you really learn about a team.
Yeah.
And so I think when you're covering the game and when you're around a game such as yourself, this is an important time of the year to be here because the genesis of so many things is right here.
Good point.
Oh, great. Nice to have you on the show, Chris. Always a pleasure. Chris Haft, MLB.com, and we'll catch up with you during the spring.
Oh, I hope so, Marty. Thank you.
All right, more coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.